needs you to fill in several different words. But we're going to begin by reading, and remember last week we taught on the just shall live by faith. But remember, there's a contrast there with the proud Babylonians. And I hope you understand that God was still answering Habakkuk. Remember, he was asking, Lord, how can you use such a wicked nation to judge your people? They're more wicked than we are. And God's assuring him that they're gonna get their judgment. And isn't that the way it is with everyone? I know today we may have the temptation also to look around and say, man, seems like the wicked are in control and they get to do what they want and nothing's happening, but it's happening.
Amen.
And if it's not happening, it will happen. Because God is just. Amen. God will repay all wickedness and judge them. And this chapter is going to tell us about this. The title is Woes to the Wicked. We'll learn about the word woe. It is found in the Bible many times. But let's stand. Don't stand. Let's read. I'll let you sit. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Yea, also because he transgresseth by wine. He is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people. Shall not all these take up a parable against him, and a taunting proverb against him, and say, woe to him that increaseth that which is not his. How long? And to him that ladeth himself with thick clay. Shall they not rise up suddenly that shall bite thee, and awake that shall vex thee, and thou shalt be for booties unto them, because thou hast spoiled many nations. All the remnant of the people shall spoil thee, because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land, of the city, and of all that dwell therein. Here's the second woe. Woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. Thou hast consulted shame to thy house by cutting off many people, and hast sinned against thy soul. For the stone shall cry out of the wall, and the beam out of the timber shall answer it. The third woe. Woe to him that buildeth a town with blood, and establisheth a city by iniquity. Behold, it is not of the Lord of hosts that the people shall labor in the very fire, and the people shall weary themselves for very vanity. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. The fourth woe. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Thou art filled with shame for glory. Drink thou also, and let thy foreskin be uncovered. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful spewing shall be on thy glory. For the violence of Lebanon shall cover thee, and the spoil of beasts, which made them afraid, because of men's blood, for the violence of the land of the city, and all that dwell therein. What profiteth the grave image that the maker thereof hath graven it, the molten image, and a teacher of lies, that the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols? The fifth woe. Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. So two good verses here. Verse 14, I know in the midst of this, it says, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters shall cover the sea. Amen. That day will come in the kingdom of Christ. And then, now, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Verse 20, let all the earth keep silence before him. Two good verses to meditate on today, but we'll get to them in a moment. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are thankful to be in your house today. Thank you for your people who have chosen today to worship you, to lift up praises unto thy holy name, to call on you in prayer, to sit before the word of God and be instructed and even reproved and build up by the word of God, build up their most holy faith. And so, Father, we pray for the work of thy Spirit in our midst today. Fill me with thy Spirit, O Lord, and fill each hearer today, everyone that is here. Father, help them to open up their hearts, to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, to receive the truth, as you said, with meekness and fear. Fear and trembling, let us seek you today, Lord, in our hearts, and be obedient to the things that we receive from the word today, not hearers only, but doers of the word of God. And we'll give you the praise, the honor, and glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 This is the woes, five different woes to the wicked. But how much is this message needed today? As we said, the word of God is relevant. Amen. It's as good today as it was and needed today as it when it was first written. When Habakkuk received this vision, how relevant it was in his day. Remember, he's waiting for an answer from God. And that answer applied to his situation. But isn't it amazing? It applies to us today. That's how God's word is. But we have to have the wisdom to apply it as well and to teach the truth of God's word. Now, remember, God is explaining. God is answering. And he's using this teaching, the woes, to tell the prophet, judgment's coming. Don't worry. The vision will, remember we read in these first verses, there's an appointed time, amen, for God's word to be fulfilled. There is, but remember this, God speaks the truth. He doesn't lie, amen. And he says for us to wait on him. And it will surely come. Don't worry. God will fulfill his word. Amen. Wait patiently. That's hard, I know. But he will do it. And so we see the contrast of those who live by faith and the proud. And the proud are the wicked in this chapter. And he begins to develop this theme in verse 5. And then he goes in and he says, woe, woe, woe to him. And God's going to keep pronouncing these woes. So when you read this word woe in the Old Testament, obviously it's a lament. It could be used in a funeral to express sorrow and grief. Certainly, you know, we get saddened when we see suffering, don't we? And when people get judged, it's not like we rejoice, like, wow, look at all the judgment coming upon them for the evil that they do. So, in a sense, we understand this sorrow and grief over death, but it also expresses judgment. It's a cry of alarm and despair for destruction to come. Whoa, whoa, look what's going to come on you. So it's not just a threat, amen. It is, it's not just a wish for us to say, yeah, you're going to get what's coming to you. But it is a cry of sorrow for judgment. Because we know, you know, our desire, and hopefully it's in your heart, that people would change. People would get saved. That we can have revival. That's why we pray for revival in our land, because maybe God will bring mercy again. Maybe God will save souls and many people will turn back to Him. Isn't that what we want? But yet at the same time, we understand God's justice. Amen. God is just. God is righteous. God is holy. And all sin must be judged. So we understand judgment's coming. Or God wouldn't be God. And yet that does affect us. That's what this woe is. I hope you get the picture that it's not just, hey, you're going to be judged. No. Man, I feel for this world and the sadness that's going to come, the sorrow, the judgment, the punishment. It's sad, is it not? And that's where we get the proper balance of how we view these woes. And so, let's look at the first one, verses 6 to 8. This is where you have to fill in. And what I'm going to do is just give you the words, and then we'll go back and look at them. Number one is the woe of defrauding, to defraud. Woe to him that increaseth that which is not his. That's defrauding someone, to defraud them. And then we're going to look at letter A. I'm going to give you the outline and we'll come back. Letter A is the character of defrauding. Letter B is the consequences of defrauding. And letter C, the condemnation of defrauding. The character, consequences, and condemnation. Are you with me? Verse 6. Shall not all these take up a parable against him and a taunting proverb against him and say, woe to him that increaseth that which is not his. How long? And to him that ladeth himself with thick clay, shall they not rise suddenly? Well, we'll go to verse 6. The character, what is it? It's speaking of personal gain, increasing your personal gain, and selfish ambition. This is speaking of robbing others to increase your personal gain, or deceiving others, defrauding them. And they're saying he ladeth himself, he increaseth, meaning they were taking a lot that was not theirs. How long? And this is, think about it, it's not just once and done, it's over and over again. This is the character of the nation, defrauders. And then he says, letter B, the consequences in verse 7. Shall they not rise up suddenly that shall bite thee, and awake shall vex thee, and thou shalt be for booties unto them? Meaning, there's consequences for your sin, amen? Amen. You can't just get away with it. It's going to catch up with you. You're going to reap what you sow. And so Babylon is, we're looking at the nation of Babylon here, and that's what God's saying. And we know how they would go in and just violently destroy people, and they were very evil and wicked and violent. But now look what's going to happen. They're going to bite you. That word bite, you know, you get the picture. And so those who will, one day they're going to rise up against you. They're going to vex you. You're going to be the ones now. They're going to be taking your stuff. You're going to be booties for them. Is that not how this life is? And when you try to live in that, you know, think about your life before you were saved. I don't know everything that you got involved in. I know what my life was in sin. And it was part like this, you know, taking stuff that's not yours and hurting others. And it wasn't a satisfying life, is it? And that's because the people that you are actually defrauding are going to turn around and come after you. And it's going to catch up with you. And the more you do it, there's more people after you. And isn't that what it's talking about here? You're not going to be, even though you get all these things, you're not going to be happy with what you get. You're going to have a difficult time. You're not going to be content at all. And that's the consequences of defrauding. Then letter C, the condemnation. Because thou, verse 8, thou hast spoiled many nations, all the remnant of the people shall spoil thee. Because of men's blood, for the violence of the land, of the city, and of all that dwell therein. So because of what they did, because they spoiled many nations, they're going to be spoiled as well. And we know the history is true. What happened is real. And Babylon, the Assyrians came and destroyed them. And that's how it all works. They will receive, and we know that principle, we read it in the New Testament, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Well, it also works in a negative effect. When you do unto others, they're going to do it back to you. And that's what happened here. These nations. It says many nations. So it's not just one, it's many. And then, number two, let's get this one, verses 9 to 11. The woe of desire. The woe of desire or covetousness. So letter A, we have the definition of covetousness. And letter B, the desires of covetousness. C, the disgrace of covetousness. And D, the distress. So letter A, the definition. Letter B, the desires. Letter C, the disgrace. And D, the distress. Now let's look at this one. Starting in verse 9. Woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness. Woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil, that consulted shame to thy house by cutting off many people, and hast sinned against thy soul. For the stone shall cry out of the wall, and the beam out of the timber shall answer it. So here, letter A, we understand a little bit about covetousness. And the amazing thing is that we ought to take heed because, you know, that's what advertising is built upon. Covetousness. That's what the malls are built upon. Window shopping. Covetousness. A desire to have more and more. Amazon. a desire to have more and more. All the ads that come into your inbox, all these magazines, you know, they're digital now, aren't they? They even find you on Facebook. Hey, let me show you this picture on Facebook. You're interested in these things. We're tracking you. We know. Let me put this in your face one more time, because we know you're going to pull the trigger. You're going to want that. It's true. But it could go get, you know, if you don't deal with it, and we know we have to put the brakes on, amen. Because the New Testament says covetousness is idolatry. Oh, well, we don't worship statues anymore. We don't bow down to wooden idols. But what else do we worship? Ourselves. What we want. What we desire. We got to have it. That's covetousness. Now, it does have a negative connotation, don't get me wrong. It's evil desires. Obviously, you have a desire. Everyone has desires, you know. You want to, you know, be cool in the summertime. That's the sad thing about living down here, brethren. The summer comes before it's supposed to come. It's supposed to be the 21st of next month. But it's already here. The 21st of this month, or not even. Spring is too short. Amen. Winter is too short. And I don't know why I'm talking about that. Maybe I better stick to the message instead of to the rabbit trails, amen. Oh, I said we have a desire, yes. I desire to be next to this air conditioning. That's what I was getting at. It's hot out there. I like to be comfortable. And it's not like that's an evil desire, right? You desire, I mean, you have certain desires that are desires that God made you with. Amen. Thank God for that. Put some sense in your head too, you know. If it's thundering and lightning, you're not going to run out there and, you know, dance in the middle of the front yard with no shoes on, right? No, let me hide in here, you know, let me wait for that to pass. Then I'll get out there, amen. But covetousness is when these desires, we know our flesh, amen, we know our heart, and so it's a wicked desire, and a lot of it is like, hey, look at the neighbors, they got a new car, why don't we have one? Look at the neighbors, they got all these nice flowers, let's go out and spend $500 on our yard, or $1,000. Hello? We got to keep up with the neighbors. We got to top them, don't we? See how nice it is, Irene, to live in an apartment. You don't have to worry about that. Everyone looks the same, and you only have limited space. You can't fill it up. So don't try, sister. Amen. One of the Bible examples. Remember Ahab? Man, he just couldn't let it go, could he? He had to have Naboth's vineyard, didn't he? It wasn't enough. He had to have a little more. And he was like a crybaby. And this is what happened. So these leads, these desires, these evil desires, leads to evil conduct. And this evil conduct leads to oppression of other people. And so it is related to the first woe, in that unjust actions are taken by the coveter to get other people's possessions. The definition, I think we understand what it is, amen? We are of the flesh. You know, we know our flesh. We know what's in us. We know the evil desires that can creep up on us if we are not walking in the Spirit. So we see the definition, let it be the desires. Oh, what do I want? I want the house that's on high. So, my picture came up of memories. We became first-time homeowners 2 years ago in Texas, right here, this time of the year, amen, 2 years ago. But how many times have we walked around our neighborhood and got on the, Zillow and whatever app, another app, realtor.com, and look, oh man, look at this house. Yeah. Man, you know, if we only had an extra room and maybe second story, we could house more guests, you know, when the kids come, man, we could fill this house up, you know? And then we're like, man, we can't even keep up with what we have. One story, why do we want two, amen? But you see the nature of man? I'm not above it. I'm like you. We're of the same nature. And so we need to be careful about this covetousness, because we want our house. We want that nest on high. Get the picture. Oh, yeah, some of you probably follow us on Facebook. Remember, so we were up at that missions conference up on Long Island, and we went, they said, go out, yeah, you want to see something, go out to this part of the island where these are all the stars, like famous people. I didn't name it on there. That's their summer home. Their mansions, they have probably 50 rooms, and Tim is the pastor's son up there, Timothy Graff. He actually installs pools for these people. Oh, the pool is $15 million, folks, just for the pool. Now you can imagine what the house looks like. So we're like driving around, like, whoa. Then you got these, you know, like castles, you know, and they're way up there on the lookout, you know. Get up there and look around. Man, I'm higher than everyone here. Look, I can see everything. Isn't that the picture? And then they take drugs and die the next week. Now what? You know? They're in the wrong place, in the wrong party, and shoot each other up. Now what? So this is what God's talking about here. Let's be careful, amen? We're never going to build that armory that we want. You know, I'm going to be delivered from the power of evil. No, this is my castle. Someone's going to come with a bigger and better one and a bigger, you know, they're just going to catapult over your wall and they're inside and they just take you out like that. And we've seen that in history, did we not? The castles and the wars and the catapults. And that's what these people were doing. I mean, man, you know. And then it says in verse 10, thou hast consulted shame to thy house. You see, shame comes with it, folks. Because in doing all this, how many people did you step on? How many people did you hurt? How many people did you offend in getting that? That's what he's saying. So, you know, you may have it, but you're not happy, you know? I think about these people out in California and down in Florida, all these famous people. Man, they got 30, 40, 50, 110 million, you know, 200 million, $250 million dollar chalets and all this stuff. And then, why I'm not happy here anymore? How can you be happy? I wouldn't want to clean that thing. And you got the cleaning business, you got to pay them $500,000 a year to keep that thing. Why would you want to be happy in there? Amen. Honey, you need your business out there in California, amen. We'll get you some millions instead of $100 here or there. We'll get you $100,000 here or there. Just joke. There's shame. And I can't even imagine, you know, being neighbors. You know, that out on Long Island, George Soros has a place out there, by the way. We didn't go look at that because you couldn't get near it anyway. You know, they got armored, you know, men, you know. Don't forget now, they're the ones telling you, put your guns away, but they got armored vehicles and, you know, tanks and, what? Don't come near me. But that's what, you know, they think. But how are you enjoying that? No. So there's disgrace, there's shame, there's curses that come with that kind of life. And we know it. Remember, you know, how many people win the lottery? They think, oh, man, if I win the lottery, man, I'm going to have it made for the rest of my life. In about 5 years, they lost all their money. They're worse off than when they won it. And everyone around them is taking advantage of them. They have no friends and family. They have no love. And they just have shame. And the Bible speaks about trying to get rich quickly schemes. It's again it. It's again it. The disgrace of covetousness. Letter D, the distress of covetousness. The stone shall cry out of the wall, the beam out of the timber shall answer it. So, you're not going to be able to stop the guilt feelings of evil that you have done to others to gain your comforts. These are stone and beam, symbolic ways of saying what you gain will give you guilty feelings. So you're not going to even enjoy your possessions because of the way you got them. Number three. Boy, I thought I was in it. Had a short message today to get through this. Had it all ready. I was planned. Yeah, I'm going to get ready. 5 points. We'll go through this quickly. No, we won't. Number three. The woe of depravity. Verses 12 to 14. Depravity. The woe of depravity. Letter A, the deeds of depravity. And letter B, the doom for depravity. The doom or destruction. You know what I mean. Verses 13 to 14. So, the woe. Number three, letter A, verse 12. Woe to him that buildeth the town with blood, and establisheth a city by iniquity. Behold, it is not of the Lord of hosts that the people shall labor in the very fire, and the people shall weary themselves for very vanity. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. The deeds of depravity, verse 12. Woe to him that built the town with blood. This is, again, building cities from the gains of evil. Think about Babylon. Remember how it was such a wonderful city and beautiful city. And it had, you know, extravagant gardens. But it was all built by violence. And the violence of many innocent people. Pretty sad. We know there's many rulers in the past, like Stalin and Hitler, and even rulers in our day, our modern day history. We need to really understand that how God views this. You know, it's evil. It's wicked to take advantage of other people. It's you know, take advantage of the innocent people and try to build something by blood, you know. This is depravity. This is the depravity of man. And God is watching, is he not?
Amen.
Letter B, the doom. Behold, it is not of the Lord of hosts. That's all we need to read, really. It's not of God. You know, think about what's going to happen when the fire of judgment comes. When, you know, eventually all of it's going to be burned down. And even 2 Peter 3 tells us that in our day, at the end, I mean, when it's all done, I say our day, I hope the Lord comes. And I'm looking for him. I hope you are too. But if it comes, everything that we see is going to be burned up. Isn't that amazing? Everything that we built is going to be gone. Because the fire is going to judge this earth. It's not reserved unto water again. Don't worry. I know, well, worry about the floods. We live in Houston. I'm not saying don't worry about the floods. You know what floods can do, right? But the whole earth isn't going to be destroyed by the flood like it was back in Genesis chapter 6. Now it's reserved for judgment by fire. And if you ever read that, you're like, oh, what's a nuclear holocaust? What's that going to look like? Well, you know what? God says the elements are going to melt. The atoms, you know, the atomic bomb, it's going to be one big atomic bomb, not by man, but by the Maker, the Creator. It's reserved for His judgment. Not for Chi, not for Un, not for anyone else but God. Or Putin. They can say what they want, but God's going to judge them with fire.
Amen.
And it's going to be real. Aren't you thankful if you're saved, you won't be there? Hey, man, we're going to be out of here. I hate to see what's left. Man, how these people, when that judgment comes, it's woo. And then, look what's going to happen. We know the end of the story, don't we? In Revelation, in chapter 22, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Amen. And it says, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now it's going to be covered with the glory of God. As God came down in the temple, you read, Solomon's temple, and the glory of God filled it. They couldn't even get near it for the glory of God, the tabernacle, the temple, and then the church in Acts 2. Amen. But now it's going to be the whole earth. Praise the Lord. And we're going to be in it. Amen. You see, depravity may do many things which would seem to hinder the glory of God. But this verse says, God will be glorified no matter what man does. And that's our message today. It doesn't matter what the Babylonians do. God's glory is going to fill the earth. It doesn't matter what Russia does. God's glory is going to fill the earth. It doesn't matter what America does. God's glory is going to fill the earth. Amen. And with that, we're going to end today. Thank the Lord that even in judgment, He will be glorified. Well, I guess we have to save the rest for next week. Give you a few minutes to stretch your legs in fellowship. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these wonderful promises to your people and also the warnings to the wicked, the woes to the wicked. Father, may we not entertain these sins. May our hearts be pure. Thank you for the forgiveness we receive by the precious blood of Jesus. Thank you for His sacrifice, for your love, for your salvation. For your protection, your sealing, the sealing of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. We're sealed under the day of redemption. Father, thank you for blessing us, for watching over us, for bringing us to your house today. This is an appointed time. Lord, it's your time in our lives. And Father, we want to receive all that you have for us today. Bless the morning hour, Lord. Help us to go back and meditate on these verses when we go home. And then, Father, we pray for Colossians and chapter 3 and all the things that we're going to learn today. May the Spirit of God apply them to our lives and change us from glory unto glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right, let's take a few minutes. Stretch your legs if you need to. We're going to have just a break. Maybe my son. I think I can just push the button here. I think I'm better not to lead anything.